Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Dorothy Garza. Dorothy, Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Same to you.
You are the facilitator for the Apostolate of Suffering at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church.
That is correct.
And first of all, the title is very interesting. It has the word suffering in it, and we all suffer. But before we get started in learning more about the Apostolate of Suffering, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yes. My husband and I just celebrated our 34th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And we have two adult children that are married and grown, and we have three grandchildren. And I'm a retired educator. So what I do now is I volunteer everywhere and anywhere at Our Lady of Perpetual Help.
And you need to be careful with that.
I know.
But that's wonderful. Now, how did you get involved with the Apostolate of Suffering? I'm curious.
Our great pastor, Monsignor Eras, was visiting his fellow priest, Father Heman, in Iowa. And he has this at his parish. So Monsignor brought it. And he says, will you start this or pray about this and start this in our parish? And he says, we have such a great need for this ministry.
Exactly.
So we prayed, and voila, here we have our Apostle of Suffering at Our Lady Perpetual Help.
Now, I'd like to ask you, knowing what you were going to get involved in, suffering's not the easiest thing to deal with. So how did you build the courage, or who did you consult with, or just internally? I'm sure God gave you grace, but how did you decide to start ministry in the field of suffering?
Well, he brought a brochure. And the brochure had a website, so I went to the website, did research, and then we ordered the brochures ourselves, and we just started praying, and I was like, okay, Mother Mary, you know, help us with this. Our pastor wants this. Our church is in great need because we have so many people that are suffering in the sense of their illnesses or depression or death of a loved one, and Monsignor just felt that we needed something to reach out to them. So because of all the little research and the prayer that we did, we came up with with a lot of help from there's an Apostle of Suffering ministry throughout the United States.
Okay.
So there's where, you know, I found all my research.
So then let's talk. What is the Apostolate of Suffering?
The Apostolate of Suffering are a group of individuals that are suffering in one way or another, and they unite their sufferings with the Passion of Christ. And in turn, they have, we ask them to just offer a simple morning offering for the vocations of priesthood to the Diocese of Corpus Christi.
So I think that's pretty interesting. Normally, people will call someone or call a friend or receive counseling, and they say, I'm suffering in this fashion or another, share their story. But what's unique and different about this and interesting is that you then ask them to pray for those who are interested in becoming priests.
Correct.
So that goes above and beyond the take two aspirin, call me in the morning
right.
kind of thing, or call me next week, we'll see how you're doing. This is, I can imagine this is humbling.
Yes, it's very humbling because what happens is when someone calls for prayer, they call the parish and they ask for prayer. They get a phone number and their parish contacts me. And then I, in turn, call them. And we discuss about the Apostle of Suffering. And I discuss a little bit about the ministry to them, and just explain about the graces of suffering. Because that's very difficult for them, especially in their time of need, to understand suffering. So what we do is we explain the ministry to them, and then we just simply ask them to pray the morning prayer. But then we make contact with them at least once a month and to explain, just to talk, just to visit. How are you? Is there a different prayer that you need? Or just what is it that you need that we can help you with? And so you get to have a relationship with them and to know that the body of Christ, we're all one, and that we're helping them however they need help in prayer. And it's very humbling because it makes us realize that our crosses are very, very small compared to some of the heavy crosses that they have. And we pray for graces for them to give them the courage and the strength that they need to carry their heavy crosses and to explain to them and help them understand that this is, Christ is asking us to do this for him, along with him, on up to Calvary. You know, Mother Mary asked us to go to offer this, to offer this suffering for his passion.
Well, we have heard that suffering is redemptive, and people probably might not understand that. And so there's a teaching opportunity there. You mentioned that you speak to them about suffering. And I can imagine that some of the calls, like you're saying, are very difficult to listen to.
Yes.
But also very rewarding as a Christian to know that you're fulfilling a ministry and serving others in a very low and difficult time in their life. As a matter of fact, I did a chaplain internship, and so I was with people in the hospital during some very needy times, from babies in the NICU who passed away, and I saw the nurse place this stethoscope on their heart, and they were listening to their last heartbeat, to someone who died because they received plastic surgery and they couldn't handle the general anesthesia. I mean, things that happen suddenly, things that happen to younger and older people. So I can imagine the types of calls that you get. And, well, speaking of types of calls, then what are some of the reasons why people call you?
Usually because they're sick. It's usually in mainly illness or the death of a loved one or the death of a child, which is very difficult for us. And all they want is prayer, just to know that someone is praying for them. And we offer masses once a month for them. We offer holy hours. And just whenever they just, we give them our home numbers. So whenever they feel the need to call us, they just call us. And many times they just call just to hear that someone is praying for them at that moment. And we had, I had one individual that she called, that she had just called 911. That she was on her way to the hospital and wanted to let us know to pray for her. So by the grace of God, I was by the phone when she called. And just for them to know that we're praying for them.
Well, you mentioned you give them your home phone. I can imagine that for some of the people that call, they might not have that family support or that community support that everyone should have.
Yes, and they just need to know that, you know, our parish is praying for them, you know, and they just want that comfort. And then slowly, once we talk to them once a month and explain all this to them, just gradually we start explaining about suffering and offering up your suffering and for them to have that understanding. And we've had several that have come back to the church because of this, and they've gone to confession. And we've had, as a matter of fact, we just had one that passed away, and she had been away from the church for a while. And because of all of this, we talked with her for about 3 years. And because of this, we felt that she made her confession and was at peace.
Okay, so 3 years. How long has the Apostolate of Suffering been in existence?
We're starting our fourth year.
Wow. And so you have people that will stay with you for quite a while.
Oh, yes, especially the ones that have cancer or that have the illness that's very difficult, yes.
And so what are some age groups? Can anyone call you? Do you have any minors call you?
Anyone that needs prayer, they just call the parish. Yeah. Some parishioners or some people are just used to calling and say, pray for so-and-so. But we make the contact. We have to make the contact. We cannot just put someone on our prayer list.
So will that person give you a phone number and then you call and say, so-and-so, ask that we pray for you?
Yes, that's the way it works. Because the people that we're praying for need to understand the ministry. Because I say, you know, you're going to belong to the ministry. And they're like, oh, no, I can't go to church. You know, I'm sick. And I'm like, no. So we explain the ministry because their ministry is very powerful, and we explain that to them. Instead of us, because we say, you know, we're working here at the church, you know, we're decorating, or we're the Catholic Daughters or Legion of Mary, but your ministry is the most important because you're offering your sufferings with the passions of Christ for the priesthood, for our diocese.
Well, Jesus did say that the path wouldn't be easy, and so he wants us to receive these graces from suffering and allow us to understand those redemptive qualities of suffering. So this is educational and spiritual. As a matter of fact, let me go ahead and read from Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, and I think this is something that you all take to heart, this verse. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church. When we come back, we'll talk more about that verse. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
Thursday, January 17th, Bishop Mulvey will preside at a mass of thanksgiving for the gift of life, marking the 40th anniversary of the legalization of abortion. If you are planning to attend the Texas Rally for Life in Austin on January 26th, this is a great opportunity for you to prepare spiritually. The Mass for Thanksgiving for the Gift of Life will begin at 6:30 p.m. on January 17th at Corpus Christi Cathedral. For more information, call Tina Villegas in the Office of Life, Justice, and Human Dignity at 882-6191.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. I'm here with my guest, Dorothy Garza, who is the facilitator for the Apostolate of Suffering at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church. Before the break, Dorothy, I mentioned this verse, and I'll repeat it from Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church. I mentioned earlier that suffering is redemptive, and I'd really like for you to tell me what this verse is about and why this is a part of your apostolate.
Well, the members of our ministry need to understand that when they offer their sufferings with the passion of Christ, how they receive very many graces. They receive that courage to carry the heavy cross, and the graces that they won't know about until when we get to heaven. Because, for example, I had an elderly lady that one of those that went to Mass all the time and knew her faith very well and was very happy. She says, oh, no, I've been offering my sufferings. And then she says, but I just don't understand, like, for what? And then I explained to her, I said, well, you know, let's do this for our priest. You know, we need some priests in our diocese. And she was like, that's good, that's good. And then I explained to her about how when she offered this up, all the graces that she would be receiving. I said, think how many priests you might have, and, you know, because of your sufferings. And then I said, offer it up for your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your children in years to come. I said, because you don't know, you might have a priest in there, you know, in later on in life. And she was like, well, I never thought about offering it up for my family or my children or my grandchildren. So, you know, we just try to explain the many graces that they will receive, and sometimes we won't know the graces until we get to heaven, the fruit.
Well, reading, first of all, and taking a look at what St. Paul has to say, rejoicing in sufferings, I don't go around saying I'm happy because I'm suffering.
Right.
But when someone tells me, you know what, you can offer your sufferings for a greater purpose.
Exactly.
Which is the call to the priesthood. Mm-hmm. That would give me a different understanding of my suffering.
Right.
And that way I'm not suffering in vain. I mean, if I'm in a moment of suffering and I think, well, you know what, let me turn to prayer.
Right.
Let me turn to building my relationship with God. Let me turn to praying for our priests. And I'd like to talk about priests real quick. Well, obviously this month, some might know, is National Vocations Month.
Correct.
And so there's a great attempt to really focus our attention on vocations, and particularly to the vocation of the priesthood. Our priests are there when we baptize children. Our priests are there when we bury people, our family members. Our priests are there for spiritual counseling. They are there to forgive our sins. So exactly. Our priests are such a cornerstone, so to speak, of our lives. Mm-hmm. And they are able to get us closer to God. And well, anyway, what do you think about that? I'd like to know your thoughts on the importance of praying for priests. I'm sure you have some because you started this. So tell me about that.
Well, people need to understand how hard our priests work. Just like what you were saying, what they do for us spiritually. But they're under attack all the time, you know, especially our Catholic priests. They're under attack all the time. And I just feel that, you know, when we explain to our people that are in the ministry about the hardships that they go through also, because, you know, they're human just like us, you know, and they do so much for us. And the least that we can do is pray for them. That's the most important thing that we can do for our priests is to pray for them. And we always pray for to give them the strength and the courage that they need to touch hardened hearts. Because if we didn't have our priests, I mean, what is there left? There's nothing. You know, as Catholics, we know that they're the ones that bring Jesus to us. So, and obviously, we don't have enough priests, of course. So maybe if people just understand that, you know, when they're suffering, even if you don't even have to call our parish, you know, just when you're suffering yourself, you know, we're so used to taking an aspirin when we have a headache. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Society tells us.
So quick relief.
Right. Yeah. Society tells us it's not good to suffer. They make us think that we've done something wrong. That's why we're suffering. Mm-hmm. And that's not correct. You know, it's not if we suffer, it's when we suffer, because we're all going to suffer. If Jesus let his mother suffer, you know, what makes us special that we're not going to suffer?
Well, then the great thing after when Jesus was on the cross, still taking care of his mother mm-hmm. by saying, this is your mother, this is your son, mm-hmm. to the beloved disciple. So mm-hmm. so making sure that even after her suffering, she is going to be loved and taken care of, and she was then given to the world to be our mother. Mm. So I'm curious to hear some stories then that you might have of people that have really touched your heart in the cause that you've heard and the cause that you've made. Can you share a few?
Yes. We had one elderly lady also. She was very precious, very sweet, that would call all the time. Well, that I would call her. And then one month I got really busy and I didn't call her. And then she called me and, you know, it was like 11 o'clock at night. And by that time, we were asleep. And the phone rings and you jump out of bed. And she was just, oh, I was just calling because you didn't call me. And I'm just letting you know that I'm doing okay. And she was very precious. And she was 78 years old and had breast cancer. And she was very excited because she had already moved out of her daughter's home because her daughter took her in to take care of her because she was very independent. And she says, no, I have my own apartment now, and I'm so excited. And, you know, so we would just visit, and she was very precious. And she was one of the ones that would offer her sufferings for her grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-great-grandchildren and our priest. And then so we just chatted, and then 2 days later she passed away. So, and it was just, you know, it was very humbling to know that she was very happy and that she had already accepted her sufferings and accepted it all for the love of Christ. And, you know, that was very touching. And then we've had another one where the spouse, because we always pray for the family too,
okay.
You know, especially when there are spouses that are very sick, because the family suffers so much. And we explain to the family members, you know, you can offer this suffering too, you know, because you're taking care of your family member, especially a spouse. And I had one that when I would call her, she would say, oh, I needed to talk to somebody. Thank you for calling. And oh, and what a blessing. I need it right now.
The timing.
Timing. I was like, I thank you, Jesus, you know, for having me to be open to, you know, to his calling, to say, to call her at that moment. So, I mean, it was like I would drop what I was doing just to call her. And she would say, oh, I need this. You know, it was very hard because she took care of her husband. We had two that just took care of their husbands for over 3 years. They were very, very, very sick. Mm-hmm. And it was like one of them had like she was saying, you know, we can't pay our bills anymore because he's not working, and it's so difficult. And, you know,
so not only are they suffering because their spouse or loved one, dear one, is ill or on their deathbed, but then they have to take care of the household.
Exactly.
And money, and I can imagine the burden
and
that they might have.
Very hard, because and most of them don't have their children in town, and just to go run and get medicine, and it's just, or one of them had to go, she didn't have her driver's license, so she had to go to the bus stop and to the bus to go get his medicine. It was like, oh,
and then dealing with insurance, you know, we don't even want to go there. But wow, you all have such a precious ministry, and it's so great to hear about you all. I would like to know, if someone is suffering, what would be the process for them to become a part of the Apostolate of Suffering? What they would call you?
They call the parish, Our Lady of Perpetual Help. Well, this is Our Lady of Perpetual Help, and they would call the parish, and then the parish, whoever answers the phone, takes contact number and explains that I will be giving them a call, or one of our members will be giving her a call and or giving them a call. So then the parish office calls us and says, you know, we need so-and-so has contacted and wants prayer, you know. So then we call them. And then we say, we understand that, well, sometimes other people call for other people. For example, a daughter
sure.
calls for her mother
mm-hmm.
or vice versa. And we'll tell that person and say, well, you know, we need to have your permission to have you join the ministry. I said, and we also have to have your permission to place your name in the bulletin, because there was times when, you know, people need to understand what the ministry is and how they're going to pray along with us.
Okay.
So that's why we have to make the contact. And then I explain to them how I'm going to send a morning prayer to them, and I send a brochure to explain the ministry a little bit more and how I will be making contact at least once a month to see how they're doing.
Wonderful. So. And then the rest is history. You build relationships. You help perhaps even alleviate some suffering, or at least be a support system.
Yes.
Please share the morning offering with us.
Okay. It says, O my Jesus, I adore you and I love you. Source of all mercy, look upon me with compassion. Through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I unite my cross with yours and offer you all of my prayers, works, joys and sufferings of this day, for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, especially for holy vocations to the priesthood for the Diocese of Corpus Christi. Amen.
Dorothy, thank you so much for being with us. Stay with us. Deacon Nolte and Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
If you scroll through the on-air TV guide, available from your TV service provider, you will encounter the state of our society revealed in the show titles. Shows such as American Idol, The Biggest Loser, Survivor, Storage Wars, and many others. The list goes on and on and on. Perhaps you haven't thought about it much, but the reality is that for-profit production companies will not spend millions of dollars developing a show unless they know the public is willing to embrace it. And that is their goal, to offer fodder for the masses. The more people who watch the show, the more the producers can earn in advertising revenues. It's all about money. Unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be any end to what we will watch on TV in our search for something to hope for or to believe in. Given the state of the family in our society today, where the divorce rate continues to run in the 50 percentiles, a majority of children age 14 and younger live in single-parent homes, and by some counts, as many as 80% of all couples living in the United States have cohabited with a partner without the benefits or commitment of marriage. one show in particular should be of interest to those of us invested in the institution of marriage. The show Bridezillas offers a perspective of many couples seeking marriage. While the show does tend to portray the extremes of bridal behavior, it nonetheless gives us an insight into a way of thinking that seems to be prevalent. The demands and expectations of these brides, and oftentimes their mothers and fiancés, can be extreme. The sad thing about it is that they don't seem to have a clue that a wedding occurs in a single moment on a particular day, but that a marriage is lived over a lifetime. Their focus is on the moment, and when the lifetime does not fulfill their dream wedding, they become discouraged and many times give up. Marriage as a sacrament in the church requires a total, free giving of self to your spouse. This gift of self is complete and faithful. It is open to the fruits of marriage, including children. One fruit of marriage that is often overlooked is the gift of growth that occurs when the man and woman embrace the sacrificial love that Jesus taught us is the cornerstone of all love. After the washing of the feet, Jesus told his disciples, "I give you a new commandment, love one another. As I have loved you, so you should also love one another." Jesus loves us with a never-ending love. He claims us as his own. St. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, tells us, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over for her to sanctify her, that she might be holy and without blemish. So also husbands should love their wives." If we put a little more emphasis in our lives on what is lasting and ultimately more important than our own desires and dreams of perfection, we might discover a greater joy in self-sacrificing love than we will ever find in self-love. All too often we think we know what love is about, only to discover that what we thought was love was simply self-gratification. May you discover new hope and the greatest truth to believe in as you scroll through the TV guide of life. And may your sacred moments fill you with the knowledge of his love, a love that supersedes all suffering and gives eternal joy. Amen.
Thank you for being with us. I'd like to thank my guest, Mrs. Dorothy Garza, facilitator for the Apostolate of Suffering. If you would like more information, please visit their website at olphcctx.org. or call them at 361-991-7891. Enjoy your day, and thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.